And when you turn your radio on, you'll hear the Versailles Choir singing, right? Turn your radio on. Good upbeat. Perfect song. This is our second message on the power of our worship. A series in spiritual warfare. And I'm glad I chose this particular book of the Bible, Old Testament. It's one we rarely hear or study or read or hear a message from. The Chronicles, it's the Chronicles of the things that happen in the Old Testament. And just sometime on your spare time, read, well, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, gives you a lot of information how God worked through the history of Israel, the Israelites. They had their ups and downs. They had their fears. They had their doubts and so forth. But the writers of these books proclaim what God said, "Behold, stand firm, I am with you." And we'll be seeing that here in this particular reading of our scriptures this morning, which will be from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 13 through 22. And we will experience some of the things, and we'll see how that we are in response to the things that we deal with today in our lives. It can be physical, spiritual, or emotional things that we deal with. And we need to always turn to the Lord, just like Jehoshaphat, and as he instructed Judah and the children of Israel to do. And they did that in worship and praise to God, because they knew, and we'll see that word, loving kindness. The Hebrew word for that is hesed. And it's one that the Hebrew nation, Israel, knew about. They knew of God's loving kindness. So if you will follow along with me, I'll begin with verse 13 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 13. Last week I read and our message was on the first four verses and then verse 12, and this is a continuation, second part, beginning with verse 13. All Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants. That means their children. Wives and their children's. Then in the midst of the assembly, and I love this, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jezreel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jezreel, the son of Manaah, the Levite of the son of Ashbin. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Zin, and you will find them at the end of the valley in the front of the wilderness of Jezreel. You need to not fight in this battle. Station yourself, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem." And Jerusalem means in the Old Testament Zion. "Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you." Again, he said, the Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The Levites from the sons of Kohathites and the sons of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. And that's how we are too. We are to let our voices be heard when we stand before the Lord. And then verse 20, they rose early in the morning and went out in the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord, your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed." When he had concluded with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and to those who praised him in the holy attire as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness." There's that loving kindness. That's that hesed in the Hebrew, is everlasting. When they begin singing and praising the Lord, ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Asherah, who had come against Judah. So they were routed. When we're singing the opening song, that reminded me of this very scripture. It said, "Remember your people, remember your children, remember your what? Promise." Didn't that go along with this right here? Yeah. Remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, and God did. And that's why they were successful, and that's why they were not to worry or fear, because it was not their battle, it was God, and he took control of it. So this morning, we'll continue to examine the account of the life of the Old Testament of the character Jehoshaphat. And again, we know that Satan loves to make situations which require simple faith, simple obedience, complicated and confusing in order to, get us off track. That's what Satan tries to do. And in this morning's message, we'll observe how Satan complicated Jehoshaphat's task of reform in Judah and how he tried to rob him of his peace and success. But they were successful. Now, we also examine how Jehoshaphat was able to overcome the confusion. And he did this by listening to the Lord. He overcame the doubt and the ultimate defeat. He overcame all of that and discovered how, and we can discover how we can win against the devil and overcome spiritual attacks that we have in our lives today. Now, we're going to learn two of the four helpful keys, the last two, how that we can defeat the enemy through our worship, just like Jehoshaphat, as he told Judah, "Stand firm," and they all bowed and they worshiped the Lord. Last Sunday, our first point, as you see up there, was to seek God when the enemy attacks. And that was in the first four verses, okay? And then also the second point, key was to confess our weaknesses and confess God's strength. And that was in verse 12. And then I picked up with verse 13 this morning. And that's what we'll be looking at. And this morning, first part is confess that the battle is not ours. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's not ours. The battles, the spiritual battles today, belong to the Lord. Matter of fact, the scripture, all through the scriptures, it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Things are much bigger than us, but never bigger than God himself. He created us. He created everything. He's in control of all things. If we could just remember that one thing, that God created everything, so whatever we make, we're in control of it, right? Whatever God makes, he controls everything in this world. So remember that. God's in control of all things. So the third key to overcoming spiritual attack through our worship is to confess that the battle is not ours. By the Spirit of the Lord, Jezreel proclaimed, do not be afraid or dismayed, for the battle is yours. Now, also in verse 15, it says, you will not need to fight in this battle. That's good to hear, right? Well, and that's what Jehoshaphat was told. And he passed it along to the children of Israel. Judah and Jerusalem, both were mentioned, Zion, that this was not their battle. So God was going to grant the Israelites victory. And God fought their fight for them and won that victory. And they wouldn't have to win the fight at all on their own through their own efforts. That's something great. And he fights our battles. We go to him and we seek his help and we pray and leave the results up to him in our lives. So why is it important to stand still and allow the Lord to fight on our behalf? In Psalms 46:10, this is another good verse that we need to be reminded of. And sometimes when we pray, but this verse says, be still and know that I am God. Psalms 46:10. Write that down in the margin somewhere. When you have battles, spiritual battles, whatever it is, you pray and then you just listen to God and watch him go in action. The reason why is because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Ephesians 5:12 or 6:12. The struggles that we face in life might appear to be a result of this physical world. However, you think about this now. We must keep in mind that the things that we can see with our own eyes are only illusions to God. Now, and many of the trials, think about this now, that we encounter will occur because of the actions of people. All the personalities in this world, you think about it, every one of us have a different personality, different actions, different outlook, the way we see things. However, though, it appears. You ever read that little note in your mirror? You know, the objects that you see are closer than they appear. You know, at the bottom of your mirror. Well, that's the way things are. And that's what God tells Israel. It is my battle, not yours. The struggles is with people. The Bible plainly says that believers do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:12. And there are spiritual forces that work behind the wrong choices that people make. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against or to the flesh." Now, we are not wrestling against people, but against the spiritual realms. And that's why I entitled this series Spiritual Warfare. The battles that's going on in the world today. All the battles against Israel, our countries, or against the United States and so forth, are the spiritual battles that have been happening throughout all generations. And that's why it's called spiritual warfare. And sometimes we think that it's battles of over common things and power and so forth like that. And much of it is. But it all boils down to the spiritual battles that Satan is causing in this world, and people are right in the middle of it. Now, a second thing we need to look at, simple worship the Lord. So God told Israel, or Jerusalem, or Judah, don't fear, don't fight, you just go out there and I'll take care of everything. And that engaged them into worship. They knew God was in control. He was going to take care of his people. He's taking care of the children. He was keeping his promise. And when we see God at work in our lives like that, that's what we need to do, is to worship him. See, we just don't worship God when we come into this sanctuary. And that's what we're doing now. We're worshiping God. But each day, every hour of the day, we need to be in the mode of worship, worshiping God. Because we can always see him at work. We can see him at work in creation. We can see, you know, the skies open up and he pours down the blessings of showers. We are to count our blessings one by one. Have you ever counted your blessings of this week? Did you count them one by one? Or did you just bundle them all together like insurance companies? We just get a bundle. No, we need to count them one by one. Right? I do. Every time I see a blessing, sometimes I miss one, but I try to get caught up with it. And I say, well, Lord, I missed one there. Thank you for that one as well. We need to thank God for our blessings. But simply worship the Lord. It's simple. Simply worship the Lord. And that's going to be through verses 18 through 22. So the fourth key here to overcoming spiritual attacks through our worship. And that's how we overcome it. And I've heard many of you say this week, get behind me, Satan. In our Bible study, we talked about that this past week. And we had that in here. And we had a wonderful, wonderful Bible study this past Wednesday. Very, very, very good. So the fourth key is to simply bow down and worship the Lord. Now, you can worship the Lord driving down the road. You can worship the Lord outside. But there's nothing like coming together. And that's why Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Forsake not your assembling together as some do, but all the more as you see when the day the Lord will appear." It is wonderful when we come together in his presence. Have you ever heard of a military strategy where worshipers were sent out to stand on the front lines of the battle? We don't commonly know of that in our day of generation or in our time. If you were a general leading an army to combat, would you consider worship on your first line of defense? Think about that. Jehoshaphat did that. And we read that when the people of Israel began to sing and to praise, that the Lord defeated their enemies. Now, that happened. God kept his promise. He told them, this is the way it's going to go down. I want you to go out. I want you going to witness my power, my authority, because that nation is disobedience. They are worshiping other gods. They do not honor me. They do not recognize me as God. And God reckons there's a judgment day coming for all nations in this world, all of people who do not recognize God. But when we recognize God, just as Jehoshaphat did, and he assembled the people together and gave them that command that God is going to win the victory for you, and when they bow down and they worship, then they saw it take place. And you see, that's how it works in our lives as well. Then we are not to worry about it. No, but human nature causes us to be worriers or doubtful and all of those things. You know, I'm not saying erase concern and so forth, because that's our human way of thinking. But if we give something to God in prayer, leave it with him. Amen? Leave it with him. It's not going to come out like we think it's going to come out. But if we're Christians and we believe in by faith that God's going to work it out in the end, then it will. It will happen that way. God's way, not our way. And it's simple faith that will help us overcome any defeat or anything in our life, and it will be replaced with victory. So Jehoshaphat and all Judea bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord. That's in verse 18. And then whenever we worship God, we submit to him the position, the value, the worth, because that's what worship means. That's exactly what it means. He becomes the utmost. I don't know if you've ever read the utmost for his highest. That is a devotional book, and I highly recommend it. And that's what took place here. The utmost importance and value in our life is to the point that all that matters fades, the obscurity, and the Lord becomes the sole focus and our heart's desire. So when God becomes our point of focus, then we begin ignoring Satan. That's when we tell him, get behind me, get lost, depart, go. We begin ignoring Satan and all the fiery darts that he hurls at us. There's hardly anything that bothers someone more than being ignored. Does that bother you? If you're trying to talk to somebody and they're doing this, do you have their attention? No. That means they're somewhere else. Or they just don't want to, probably don't care what you're saying. Okay. Now, if we want to strike back at Satan for all the pain and confusion that he's caused us, then we need to begin worshiping the Lord and ignoring Satan. So if we ignore him, he'll be ignored and he'll leave for a period of time. That's what the scripture says. That's what Jesus did. He used scriptures in his defense against Satan. and told Satan, be gone, be gone. He can only harm us when we listen to his lies, focus on them. However, if we ignore him and concern ourselves only with the things of God, then the devil can't get us. He can't attack us as easily. So, in our worship, we recognize God's attributes and express this through adoration. We express it through our praise. We express it through our thanksgiving. We express it through our service. And we express it through our holy lives, are the way we live our lives. That's what happened. Worship constitutes a primary calling of our lives to God. It really does. So now, in conclusion this morning, now the one prevailing truth that remains constant throughout our text is submission to the will of God. That's what it boils down to. Our yielding, submission, our surrendering our will to God. That's what he wants. That's exactly the way Jesus did it. It worked for him, didn't it? In the garden, they came and arrested him. Jesus passed on the cross, may this cup pass. Not my will, but your will be done. It is finished. It's completed. I've come. I've been obedient. When he was baptized, the Heavenly Father said, this is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased. In every aspect of Jesus' life, it was all total submission to the Heavenly Father. And exactly what Jehoshaphat did. When we submit, surrender our lives and recognize the attributes of God, his holiness, his righteousness, and everything like that. That is worship. That is our worship to God. If we apply Jeremiah 29:11, which is a wonderful verse, it's a good one to memorize too. I give you some each week to memorize. And this is a good one. The Lord wants to prosper us and not harm us and give us a future and a hope. And he'll do that. He'll do that. However, we on our own lack the necessary skills to navigate the life storms to achieve this future and hope. We can't do it on our own. We must trust the Lord. See, Jesus Christ, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he knows the safest course of passage for each one of us. And we must learn to rely on him totally. Not just a little, but totally. What's that song we all often sing at the invitation? I surrender all. Do we do that really? Do we always surrender all? Or just say, I'll keep a portion of this. No, he needs all of our life surrendered to him. And then when we do, we'll see great results in our life. Each day, you and I must focus on Jesus and give him our full devotion and our entire heart. Just like the shepherd David. What God said about David? This is a man after my own heart. He wants all of me. And that's what David sought in his life. The Bible says that if we will worship and trust in the Lord, then he will help us and shield us. That's Psalms 115:9. Again, if we will worship and trust in the Lord, then he will be our help and shield. Another one good to remember and memorize. Also, Psalms 147, he will cover our head in the day of battle. Did you know all these scriptures are here encouraging us and helping us realize in our worship God takes over and he fights our battles for us? So as believers in Jesus Christ, ask yourself whether you worship the Lord on a daily basis. Do a self-examination, you know. If not, start today. If you need to start seeking him anew and afresh. Also, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, then the Lord extends an invitation to you this day. And anyone listening live, and we've been having a lot of people listening to our services here recently. We want to reach as many people in our community or statewide, nationwide as possible for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Versailles Baptist Church can be crusaders, right? We can be crusaders for the Lord. We can be ambassadors right here in our own community, reaching and talking and winning other people to Christ. And then we will see great things. And they will experience great things when they become a part of the kingdom of God, God's kingdom. And he's in control of all of it. And it will be that way to the end. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you for this message this morning. And how would we would have known if we hadn't read 2 Chronicles chapter 20? Jehoshaphat, he knew. He knew you personally. And he led his people to believe in you, trust you, remembering your people, your children, and your promise. And we claim your promises. And Lord, because of that, we'll see that you will fight our battles today, tomorrow, next month, in the years to come, by yielding and surrendering our mind, soul, and body to you. And we need to be reminded of that, and we are reminded when we read your word in the scriptures. And we need to learn to say no instead of yes, and especially no to Satan when he comes knocking on our door or tries to get his foot in through the door. Let us be conscious, Lord, that when he is tempting us, we will recognize that. You tell us we are to test the spirits, whether they be of you or whether they be of the enemy. And if they're of the enemy, Lord, then we need to suit up with the full armor of God. And we can fight we can't fight the battle, but you will fight the battles through us. You will fight them for us. If anyone here today doesn't know you personally, or anyone listening, Lord, I pray that all we have to do to become a part of your family, the kingdom of God, confess, repent of our sin, come forward and make it public that we mean business. And if we want to live from you from this day forward, Lord, let your will be done. Let your spirit speak tenderly to each one of our hearts. And may we have a sensitive spirit to listen and act upon your calling. We praise and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.